There's three brothers from the La Luz Ecclesias, Brother Eddie Brown and Boy Wells and Tommy Walker. They've been coming up to me all week. Ernie, is everything going all right? Is there any way we can help you? And then they get this funny look on their face and this crazy look in their eyes, and they tell me, "We'll sure fix you up." Every one of them would be glad to fix you up. Well, I tell you what, if I have any hardships up here this week, this old farm boy, I'm just going to endure them, because I'm not going to let those three guys fix me up. And I sincerely mean that. There's an old saying that it's better late than never. Better late than never. For that person who is just now finding out that the Bible is the book to read and really study, better late than never. For that person who keeps putting off baptism for no real reason, better late than never. For that brother or sister who does not realize how wonderful it is to be alive and have the opportunity that we have, better late than never. For that brother or sister who has been lax in correcting a bad habit or fault, better late than never. It's your life, and you can do something about it. Are we prepared to do God's will? And yesterday we talked about Jeroboam. Just a little bit of quick review here. And he has gone down in history as the man who initiated a religious system in Israel that finally destroyed it. He initiated a religious system in Israel that finally destroyed it, and yesterday we looked at that a little bit. And then we talked about the man of God from Judah . He went to the inaugural ceremonies marking the establishment of Jeroboam's new religious system. Jeroboam's new religious system, that's something I want you to remember. He was specifically sent from Judah to represent Yahweh in a special way. He was to enact Yahweh's position in relation to Jeroboam's religious system and declare its doom. He was the divine messenger sent to Jeroboam to reveal that Yahweh had disfellowshipped him for his apostasy. He was not to fellowship Jeroboam by eating and drinking with him, nor was he to give the impression that he often journeyed into Israel, being specifically commanded to return by another way. In the presence of the idolatrous king, the man of God performed his task well, for he had no sympathy for Jeroboam or his ways, and was able to resist the attempt made by the king to compromise his stand and to detract from his prophecies. Remember this. When confronted, however, by one of his own kind, a man who shared his opposition to Jeroboam's idolatry and was so desperate to converse with someone of a similar attitude to himself that he could lie concerning the angelic visitation the man of God forgot his original commission and turned back to eat and drink with the old prophet. And for his disobedience, the man of God met a violent death. A violent death. The man of God became a symbol of Jeroboam and of Israel. He had set out to obey just like Jeroboam, but under trial, he turned back from Yahweh, or as Brother Dick talked about the other night, he did not cleave unto God. He turned from Yahweh, and Yahweh became a lion unto him. Now, at the close of my class, I ask the question, can we apply this to our times? I know another few years ago, I can't remember if it was last year, Dale Lee, he taught a class here, and he had many things from the Old Testament that he compared to things in our day. So I'm going to do a little comparing here today. Now listen to this. Do we have any Jeroboams, and I put a plural there, it's not singular, in our body promoting false beliefs? Jeroboam was so successful, he developed a new religious system. Jeroboam was so successful, he developed a new religious system. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen close. Listen close. There is no legal condemnation or inherited alienation resting upon all men from birth. Think about that. No legal condemnation. No inherited alienation resting upon all men from birth. Now just listen and consider that. Listen to this. Christ was not alienated from his Father at birth. Christ offered himself because he had a command from God to go to the cross. Had he failed to obey this command, he would have become a personal sinner and would become alienated from God and be subjected to condemnation. Since Jesus was without personal sins, there was nothing that he inherited from Adam that required the offering of himself. His sacrifice was on behalf of personal sinners who come to God in the appointed way. God could have bestowed upon his Son an immortal nature in his own good time without the necessity of Christ's death on the cross, had it not been in God's plan that he be the Savior of mankind. Listen to this. Sin nature does not require a sacrifice to atone for it. Baptism is confined to the remission of personal sins and does not concern itself with the subject of our sin nature. After baptism, a person is still in Adam as well as being in Christ, a sort of dual citizenship that will not be adjusted until Christ's judgment seat. Since covenant relationship, the Abrahamic, Davidic, Messianic, is deemed to have nothing whatever to do with resurrection from the dead, there tends to be a de-emphasis upon the doctrine of covenant relationship, and the gospel is viewed as a divine program exclusively devoted to the forgiveness of personal sins. Do we have any Jeroboams in our body promoting false beliefs? He was so successful, he developed a new religious system in Israel. Tall as Jim Malay or Joe Bowman. But I'd be so far away from my notes if I was that tall. Have you ever noticed that? Those guys are, I wish I was about like this. Those guys are so far away from their notes. I'd have to have me some binoculars, my eyes would get bad. Let's see here. 1846. I tell you what, I'm thinking small today. Thinking small. I've got to think big. 18. I got a lot to put up here. 1846. Is that date? Does that ring a bell with anybody? How about John Thomas? '46 is close enough. The history that I read started with 1846. I'll take that up with you after class, Roger. Oh, okay, 1898. Okay, now I'm going to come down. 1990. That's us right here. That's you and me. Right down here in 1990. Okay. What happened in 1898? Amendment to the Statement of Faith. Okay, who we got up here? This is the pioneers. I hope I spell that right. This is a pioneer Bible school. Isn't there a sign out there on the front? All right. Traditional doctrine. Okay, brothers, sisters, now, this is important. They had problems from 1846 to 1898. I'm not going to say they didn't. But they were one body. Does everybody agree? They were one body. One body. Okay. Now, this group right here, lay this down. Let's see if I can come out of this mess I've made right here. Okay. The enlightened rejector is what separated these two groups right here. This group here, the amended group, they made it to test the fellowship. This group did not. Now, let's talk about the problems. This is us right here, the unamended. Let's talk about the problems in our body. We have divisions. Let's put materialism and worldliness. That divides us, or that's a problem. Okay. The next thing that divides us, I'm going to say it, we're divided over marriage, M-A-R, marriage. We have problems about prophecy. That's not big enough, but you can hear what I'm saying. Okay, we have an evangelical group in our body. And last of all, we have a unity group, U-N-I-T-Y. Now that's basically the problems that we have in our body. Materialism and worldliness are divisions over the marriage question. And it's a multiple problem. It's not just accepted clause. There's many other facets, not faucets, facets to the marriage question. Okay, we have some, basically our body, the unamended body, is the continual, we go by the continual historical interpretation of prophecy. There are some differences of opinion in regard to the Arabs, in regard to the Muslim religion, and a few other sequences, but basically our body holds to the traditional continuous interpretation of prophecy. Now there's always an exception to every rule. There's a few in our body that are a little amended group that have become radical. But basically that's what we hold to. Also in our group, we do have some evangelicals. And also, we have a unity group. And there's no use, well, everybody knows who they are. There's no use in mentioning it. Okay, now, this is basically our problem. Right there. The unamended Christadelphian body, us. This is our problems, right here. The unity group, they want to get with this group. And this group up here don't want us. The amended don't want us. We're not in fellowship with them. Now, let's look at the amended. Try to write big, Ernie. I'm so simple. E-N-D-E-D. Big. This is your amended group here. What kind of problems do they have? They have got materialism and worldliness. They've got that problem in their body. They've got the marriage problem, just like we do. They disagree about the marriage question. They're divided over that. And they definitely have a prophecy problem. They have those that hold fast to the continuous historical interpretation, but they also have the futurist and the preterist in their body, and they also have some other alternate groups in the amended body. They also have an evangelical problem. They don't have a unity group. We've got that problem. They don't. The amended don't want unity with us. Now, they have another problem. They believe in the light and rejector, that he will be raised and judged at Christ's judgment, even though he has not made a covenant relationship with God through the waters of baptism. Now, I'm going to read this again to you. I want you to listen. This is important. There is no legal condemnation or inherited alienation resting upon all men from birth. Christ was not alienated from his Father at birth. Christ offered himself because he had a command from God to go to the cross. Had he failed to obey this command, he would have become a personal sinner and would become alienated from God and be subject to condemnation. Since Jesus was without personal sins, there was nothing that he inherited from Adam that required the offering of himself. His sacrifice was on behalf of personal sinners who came to God in the appointed way. God could have bestowed upon his Son an immortal nature in his own good time without the necessity of Christ's death on the cross, had it not been in God's plan that he be the Savior of mankind. Sin nature does not require a sacrifice to atone for it. Baptism is confined to the remission of personal sins and does not concern itself with the subject of our sin nature. After baptism, a person is still in Adam as well as being in Christ, a sort of dual citizenship that will not be adjusted until Christ's judgment seat. Covenant relationship is deemed to have nothing whatsoever to do with resurrection from the dead, There tends to be a de-emphasis upon the doctrine of covenant relationship, and the gospel tends to be viewed as a divine program exclusively devoted to the forgiveness of personal sins. Now, brothers and sisters, you can add... It was in the Advocate, the Christadelphian Advocate. I think it was 1986. I've got the pamphlet with me. Okay, let me continue. Not ever amended Christadelphian teaches or believes what I just stated. There are exceptions to every rule, but many do. Many do. And those things that I just presented right there, I consider them a new religious system and it does not agree with what we hold true and it does not agree with what they held true. Now, do we have brothers and sisters who are as anxious for fellowship as the aged prophet? Do we have brothers and sisters who are as anxious for fellowship as the aged prophet? Yes, we do. And I'm going to tell you what. We have brothers and sisters also who know about this new religious system or these doctrines that we differ about the errors that I just read, and they still promote a fellowship between these two groups with those who teach and believe the things that I just listed. Now, there's going to be some in our body, not all, there's exceptions to every rule. There's going to be some in our body, like the man of God, who are going to listen and they're going to heed these brothers promoting. Now, look, you want to write this down. I think this is important. Social unity despite doctrinal differences. There are doctrinal differences between this group and this group. There are doctrinal differences between this group and this group. Now, why, Ernie? You're saying, why, Ernie, did you bring this up? Why? Christ is going to return in 2 years. He's going to return in 2 years. That's what a lot of us are saying. What if Christ doesn't return in 2 years? What about our children and young people? Do they need to know about these differences? I think they do. And we have brothers in our body. They're not like me. Words come from their mouths and their pens like a fresh, a beautiful, refreshing mountain stream. That's how the words come from their mouths and pens. And you know what they're going to tell you about old Ernie Glass and the things that I've said here? Well, who is that? That's old Ernie Glass. He's that guy from Arkansas. That's what they're going to say about me. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if Christ don't return. And this is serious. This group here is growing like, have you ever seen water going over Niagara Falls? They do a lot of preaching and teaching, a lot more than we do, a lot more. and they're growing. And I'm going to tell you what, if Christ don't return, here's what's going to happen, except for some exceptions. Maybe La Luce and the Pioneer Bible School will be one exception. Maybe Arkansas will be an exception. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen elsewhere? I hope it don't happen here. I'll tell you what's going to happen. If this group goes into this group, it will be on the basis of the amended accept statement of faith. That's the only way they will accept us. The only way. What's going to happen? This right here. That's what's going to happen. Except for a few exceptions. There's always an exception to every rule, like Brother Jim was talking about in his class. Will the faith be here when Christ returns? There will be a few that's faithful. Now, what about the pioneer thinking, the traditional Christadelphian doctrine? Are the pioneers in agreement with this religious system over here? No, they're not. Study it and you will see. So what's going to happen? Christadelphian doctrines are going to be, you can erase it. You can take it out. And what do you have left? That's what you've got. You've got a new religious system. And I do not hate these brothers and sisters, but I do not agree with those things that I just read to you. And I tell you what, if you don't understand these things, if you don't think they're true, you get the November 1988 issue. Well, I stuck the wrong one in. I'll have to bring that to you tomorrow, but I will. I'll bring you a list tomorrow. Wait a minute. Is my blue notebook back there, Gail? Well, I was lost before I started this class, and it looks like I'm going to go through it lost. But I'll bring you this. Okay. The Christadelphian, is that it back there? Okay. September 1986, you get that advocate and you read that. It's called, what is it, the Initiative for Unity? And the advocate committee tells you why they are not in agreement with unity with the amended. And they also, the Continental Committee back in the 60s, they told us why that there could not be any unity. As for myself, I feel like there shouldn't be now. Okay. The aged prophet was sorely upset by the death of the man of God. He was so enthused and excited about having the opportunity to visit with such a man that he lied. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters. Anything that is not of God, no matter how innocent it may appear, may be a lie. We need to read this. 1 Kings 13, verses 30 and 33. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, some of you may be upset with me, but we have had brothers that keep talking about all our problems, but they don't ever mention them. Now, I mentioned about every one of them up there on that board, and I think we need to think about them, we need to talk about them, and we need to start trying to do something about it. Instead of just saying, we've got some terrible problems in our body, and it could cost us our eternal life. If it's going to cost us our eternal life, why don't we start talking about it and getting together and doing something about it instead of getting up here and saying, we've got some problems and it's terrible. We're going to mess around and lose our eternal salvation is what we're going to do. And it don't hurt to talk about these things. If we're divided, let's talk about it and see if we can make some progress, straighten it out, at least for a few of us. Kings, I'm lost. 13, verses 30 and 33. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. This is what the aged prophet did with the man of God. And they mourned over him and his sons, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his sons, saying, When I am dead, bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. Okay, the old prophet couldn't change things after the man of God disobeyed. All he could do was bury himself, sever any connection with Jeroboam and his ways, and identify himself with the man of God. This he did. Now, brothers and sisters, before we broke bread at the memorial service, you said that you break bread on the basis of the unamended Birmingham Statement of Faith. That's why I'm at this Bible school. I support you in that. And if you ask me to teach your young people, I'll tell you what I'm going to do in one class. I'm going to tell them what the difference is between the amended and the unamended. And if you don't want me to do that, don't ask me to teach here. Because I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try to explain to my children at home the differences between the unamended and the amended. Because those things that I presented to you just a while ago, that there is no legal condemnation or inherited alienation, that Christ was not alienated from his Father at birth, these things are not true. And I am not going to associate myself with that. And if I'm coming across too strong, I was going to try to be nice today. If I'm coming across too strong, I apologize. But these things are serious. And if time goes on long enough, it's going to do away with Christadelphian doctrine, and it's going to do away with our body. And this right here is what's going to be left, except for the exceptions that Brother Millay brought out in his class a couple of days ago. Except for those exceptions, we're going to have a new religious system. I hope you're right. I hope Jesus Christ returns in 2 years and we won't have to worry about it. But I'll tell you what, I don't want my young people and any young people that I come into contact believing that I read you a while ago. Because that is a different religious system than what Christadelphians believe. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about why I come to this Bible school. This Bible school is the result of men and women believing that the Bible is the only source of knowledge concerning God and His purpose. At this Bible school, and I've been here many years, what are we taught? We are taught that there is one God who created heaven and earth and all that in them is. We are taught that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are taught that man is mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L, and that man in death is unconscious and depends upon a resurrection for future life. At this Bible school, we are taught that death came into the world through the disobedience of man. And since death came into the world through sin, it can only be abolished through the righteousness of one who was raised up of the condemned race of Adam in the line of Abraham and David, who, wearing the condemned nature, was to obtain a title to resurrection by perfect obedience, and by dying abolished the law of condemnation for himself and all who should believe and obey him. I've heard that said many times at this Bible school. Many times. It's been taught to your children over here in these classes. At this Bible school, we are taught that the gospel is the good news and the glad tidings of the kingdom of God and the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ. At this Bible school, we are taught that baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, after a knowledge of God's plan and a faithful walk therein, is essential to salvation. These things are true. Most men will never know the truth because they are strangers to the Bible. They never read the Bible. They are content with what they see and have no heart for God's realities. God is invisible except in the Bible, where he appears on every page in some shape or form. The mighty part that God performed when he brought Israel out of Egypt is an invisible affair of the past, and when men do not acquaint themselves with the record of it, which God has caused to be written, they are beyond the reach of its influence. Moses and the prophets, the fathers and the kings, the apostles and the saints have never lived for the men who do not make their acquaintance in the Bible. The messages they delivered from God, the commands for the guidance of human action, the promises of good things to come, the declaration of future events are powerful to move men when they are listened to and realized. But for the man who does not read, they are as non-existent as if they had never been written. Jesus Christ is also out of sight to all who do not know the Holy Scriptures. I think Jesus Christ is going to be out of sight to that group there. Out of sight. Jesus Christ is out of sight to all who do not know the Holy Scriptures, who are able to make men wise unto salvation. Many of you, brothers and sisters, read your Bibles daily. Some don't. There's some in this room that we don't read our Bibles daily. And if we don't read, we forget. If we forget, we don't do what God requires. If we don't do what God requires, we lose the race for eternal life. I read in an article that faith is a combination of a belief and trust in God. And it, faith, may manifest itself in quiet confidence. I think Jim said that the other night. Teaching men and women to have faith in God is the main purpose of the millions of Bibles in the world today. Believers, however, have always been a minority. Just like Jim said, when Christ comes, there will be some faithful, but it's going to be a few, I feel. This is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will. What's my class about? Not my will, but thine be done. God's will. This is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. And this we know includes every good thing that really matters now. That really matters now. And what are they? Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in regard to spiritual matters. Spiritual matters. And there's something else that comes with it too. Peace, hope, and love. Peace, hope, and love. And abiding faith and trust in God that His kingdom will come and that we may be allowed a place therein. Most men never know the love of God. Most men never know the love of Jesus Christ. They don't know it because they don't understand Christ. Most men never know the love of good brothers and sisters. It's really something. Most men never experience the joy and privilege of being a servant of God in this life, nor the opportunity of honor, glory, and eternal life in God's kingdom when it is established upon this earth. Some brothers and sisters will not hold fast. We know this. I may fall by the wayside. I may fall by the wayside. But we also know that if we come to God willingly and obediently, that His Son Jesus Christ, through His Son Jesus Christ, and remain willing and obedient, we know that nothing, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no power on earth, illness, pain, not even death, that can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, listen to me, brothers and sisters. I'm talking to brothers and sisters right now. Only the brothers and sisters, do what is right. Be valiant for the truth. Teach it without compromise, and all those who love the truth will not oppose you. They will approve you. And for all others, you need not care a rush. Thank you.